Well, Fezzarama is my little side project I do with Joe Cash, my partner, and we're making fezzes. It started out as just a way to be creative and have some creative outlet and just have some fun. I was kind of surprised the level of response that we're getting. We're actually getting more orders than I can handle at the moment.
When did you start?
Well, the full-blown background, the idea for Fezzarama started, like 90, I think, around 90, 91. Going to Cal State Long Beach, going to school there, having lunch with my friend Eric, and we were just brainstorming random ideas. And one of them was to I was always interested in making hats, and one of the ideas was to make fezzes for all of our friends. So we kind of just sketched up a bunch of different ideas for a specific fez for each of our friends. And I thought about forming a business, and that's when we first came up with the name Fezzarama and selling it. And I'd always been interested in graphic design and clothing design and stuff like that. So it just seemed like a fun little outlet. At the time, I couldn't quite figure out exactly how I wanted to make the fezzes. A traditional fez is blocked. It's a wool felt that's stretched over a block and not terribly comfortable hats. And getting blocks and working with the chemicals involved, I used to do a lot of blocked hats. And if I was going to do block hats again, I'd like to do top hats or something more, formed than just a simple bucket. So I wasn't really interested in doing the felt aspect. And I always thought, there must be a way to do it out of fabric. And I just didn't quite get the idea how I'd want to do it for a couple of years. And it just sort of sat on the back burner for a long time. Eventually, I was making when I was going to design school, I was making a cloak, like a big robe, for one of our friends, and I had quilted all of the sleeve fabric and noticed that it stood up nice, had about the body that I was looking for, and thought, wow, this could actually work for making a fez. And again, that sat on the back burner for a couple more years. Eventually, in 98, I was diagnosed with cancer. That went through treatments, and then after that, I was pretty much just sort of unemployed survivor at the time. And for Christmas, I liked it to make Christmas presents for all my friends. And 99, I believe, I made fezzes. Finally, made fezzes for that core group of friends I originally designed them for, and that was the starting point of the Cult of the iFez. So my day job currently, I've got a couple of them. I teach fashion design. I teach computer pattern making classes. My other sideline is I write textbooks for fashion design classes. So I've got one done on pattern grading, a second one on pattern draping, and I'm about to start the large one, which will be on general pattern drafting. The fez actually is not a terribly challenging pattern, and the first ones that I made weren't terribly evolved. Because it's just simple geometry. It's a cone with the top knocked off of it. As I, developed and studied and all that kind of stuff, I started getting the little nuances of finesse in the patterns to tweak them. And I'm always trying to, get them to the patterns a little bit better. Even on something so simple of a form, when you're dealing with, different types of fabrics, different situations, there's always a little bit of finesse. So, I'm one of those artists who's just never satisfied with my own work, so I'm constantly looking. I'm going, I could make that a little bit better. I love hats, and I have a pile of hats. The challenge for blocked hats, the firm felt hats, is they're blocked to a generic oval shape, and my head's not oval shaped. So any hat, I'd have to either buy a hat that's too large for my head to keep it from pressing into my forehead, or it needs to be fairly soft and something that I can stretch, or have to stretch the hat myself. I have some felt hats, and after a while, once they're broken in, they're comfortable. But in the beginning, they were always kind of, struggle to wear. And that's why I like the quilted aspect of it, is, it's a comfy hat. It's a little bit closer to like a smoking cap in its, fit. The way we actually started Fezzarama, I had been doing the fezzes for the Cult of the Eye for a while, and people would ask, hey, can I get one of those? And I'm like, no, these are, just made for my friends, and it's part of our group. And I kind of turned down doing fezzes for other people. Then we went to Tiki Oasis in Southern California, Otto von Stroheim's Tiki event. Great event. I stumbled across it on the internet, and I think it was like the third year they had it. We went, and it was just myself, my wife, and very good friend Troy. Just went for fun, but we were wearing our fezes there, and a few people commented on the fezes and looked around at the event. I thought, oh, this would be really cool to be a vendor here to sell art and show our stuff, because we're all creative types. My wife paints. Troy's a fantastic designer, architectural design stuff. So the next year, we wanted to have a booth, and booths are really cheap. It was, you know, great way to hang out. My wife, we don't drink, so the late night parties aren't really our thing. I like, you know, the bands and all that kind of stuff. So we were having a great time there, and we brought out a bunch of our artwork and just little knick-knack stuff that we designed, and we were wearing the fezes, but we weren't selling the fezes. And we kept getting asked, you know, how much for the fezes. And I had to keep saying, these are for our group. We don't sell them. So the next year I decided, okay, I'm going to make a small batch of fezes and see if people respond to them. And I made the first three fez designs for retail, which was the shrunken head design. I had the wooden tiki mask design. And I think the drunken monkey was the third one from the first year. And they sold out at the event. And that first year we had Cult of the Eye tags inside them, because we were just sort of the Cult of the Eye group was putting on the booth. And that's when I kind of realized that, you know, if I'm going to keep doing more of these, you know, I need to form it into a business. I don't want it to be, you know, just sort of ad hoc hobby kind of thing. So the next year we started thinking about forming Fezzorama. That started through the Tiki crowd. You know, they sold well through the Tiki crowd, and that's kind of what started us rolling, was the retro Tiki scene. There's two core reasons why I started Fezzorama beyond being able to sell fezzes and pay taxes for it. And that was, there were two areas that I knew that were being underserved. One were bands. We were always being accused of being a band whenever we showed up with fezzes. If we went bowling in our fezzes, people would come up to us and accuse us of being in a band. In fact, that's where our first website came from. We were leaving the bowling alley for a friend's birthday, and the booking agent for the venue ran up to us and basically said, "Are you guys playing soon?" And one of the guys said, "Oh, yeah, we've got a website. Just go to cultofthe.com. We play all the time." And, of course, we don't play all the time, and we didn't have a website when he said this. So we went home and had to put up a website. I enjoy making the fezzes, and I like what they represent. They're a party hat, and I'm basically trying to elevate a party hat into a little bit classier design, you know, like make a high-quality party hat, really. That concept really entertains me. And like I said earlier, I don't drink, so I'm not necessarily, you know, fit into the same demographic as a lot of people who you know, buy and wear our fezzes. But there's something about, you know, about the personality of it that just fascinates me. It's a hat for people who aren't afraid to laugh at themselves, and a lot of ukulele players enjoy laughing at themselves. So it just does kind of seem to go hand in hand. They both come from the same era. A lot of people, I've actually been accosted at Tiki events, you know, why are you wearing a fez? What does a fez have to do with Tiki? And I have to explain to people that, you know, these two things kind of entered the American culture, the subcultures, at the same era. That, you know, if you think back to the Shriners in the middle of the 20th century, they were, you know, kind of at their heyday. Not that they're gone by any means, but, you know, that's kind of how they – when they really imprinted on society. And at that same time, you know, the Tiki – exotica scene was being, you know, kind of imprinted, you know, at that same era. And the younger generations, my generation, looks back on that with this kind of blurred nostalgia, and we don't see a separation between exotica and Tiki and, you know, the Shriners. It all kind of gets blurred together. I'd say the only requirement to wearing a fez is make sure it's pointing forward. The embroidery needs to be, you know, on the front. Since they're circular, there's no – you don't feel it, so you don't want your design to be askew. As far as having it on a rakish tilt, you know, some people can pull it off really well. Just depends on the shape of your head, I guess. My big issue with wearing a fez, it's one of those things when you're going out, is I think a fez needs to be dressed up for. You know, there are photographs of me wearing a fez and a t-shirt. In fact, I have a t-shirt and a fez on right now. Keep my head warm. But when I'm out and about, I always look back at the photographs and go, I really wish I had a tie on at that point. I like the tassel to be just barely below the edge of the fez. I can kind of feel where the tassel is as it brushes across my ear, but it's not smacking me in the side of the face. Other people like to pull it up so that the knot is just at the top of the top corner of the fez. If you look at the classic Shriner's tassels, those are much, much longer tassels. And those are sewn to the fez to keep it kind of in place so it doesn't drift around. And I never liked that. It always seemed to me that if it's a tassel, it should be swinging free. That to have them stitched down or anchored was almost false in my warped sense. That, you know, it lost a function. I don't know if the tassel's function is to keep flies off your face in the desert, but I always kind of thought that, you know, you should be able to spin your tassel whenever you feel like it. Is there a fez culture? Could you define fezes as a culture, or could you create a fez culture based on an enthusiasm for fez? That's one of the things I've always kind of been looking at, is, you know, if we could throw a big party for fez enthusiasts, would they come?